get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
You'll get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, but I do, I do.
A good time out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pitbull, yeah. Bringing us back. I'm doing my Pitbull dance.
You've been dancing a lot today.
I'm
just
fired
want
up.
For the record, in your Indians jersey, your red Indians jersey,
yeah.
You've been dancing to music. You've been very excited, and it's a good thing. It just,
you know what? Energy, I man. Finished my 10,000 word article, the fantasy fact sheet for CBSSports.com, at about midnight last night.
Yeah.
And once that happened, I knew we had the Tribe Wednesday, Browns Thursday. I was fired up, and I'm just...
The best thing about writing is having written.
It's the best.
Attest to that.
When it's done, it's done. Send it off. It's
Gerard,
beautiful.
Gerard Cherry joins us now.
Hey.
How you doing, brother?
I am doing well. And if you got that dancing bug in you, Nathan, you can be sure to check out DJ Elisa Lynn tonight at Tomo Sushi and Hibachi.
Gerard Cherry here.
That
for
was
Tomo
so smooth.
Sushi and Hibachi.
That was so smooth. But Gerard, I'm gonna be at the Tribe game tonight.
After the game, dog, bring the crowd with you.
There it is. Is that where you're gonna be? Is that where you're holding court tonight?
Not quite sure, Nathan. I haven't quite figured that out.
Thank you for inviting me without being here, by the way.
The 10th inning with Gerard Cherry at Tomo.
That's awesome.
Nathan,
he's like, bro, hey, make sure you hit up Tomo when I'm not there.
Gerard, do you have like your own like seat or table with your, you know, like the big timers do at restaurants?
Nah, I keep it low profile, Vic. I'm not like that at all. Nah.
Come on.
I don't do the VIP section thing. I always found that the guys that hung out in VIP section, those were the worst parts to be in. It was more fun being with the common folk, so nah, I never did that.
Nice. The common folk. Hey, I want to talk about this Browns secondary, and because it's relevant, obviously, with a game like this. You got a young quarterback, and the first task of a young quarterback, of course, is he's going to deal with a pass rush. He's going to deal with everything that you deal with when you face that front seven of the Browns. But you're looking for those spots. And a week ago, Andy Dalton did not find those as available as other quarterbacks had or earlier in the season. Buster Skrine looks like he's picked up his game. Chris Owens definitely making some progress as well in his veteran presence. Are you buying that this is an improving secondary, or is it just thriving because that front seven is just so amazing?
It's a combination of both, Vic, because even if you have a front seven that's getting out to the quarterback, if he has a millisecond to throw the football and that guy's open, he's going to be open to make the play because he's in the NFL. But Buster Skrine is playing the ball effectively, and then you look at Chris Owens, he's also having tight coverage as well. So I think what's taking place is Buster Skrine is finding confidence in his game, making plays. He was matched up against A.J. Green, and he didn't look nervous about the situation at all. So I believe just a combination of, hey, I can play this football game, and I do have help from my defensive line. It's a collective effort. Now, Joe Hayden, obviously, he's playing lights out in a higher level than those two guys we just mentioned are playing, but they're starting to come along. But I do think it's a combination of, one, having confidence in your ability, that being with Buster Skrine and Chris Owens, and as well as the defensive line doing its part. Because, again, if you are average to bad and you have a good defensive line, you can become real good real quick. But I do think Buster Skrine in general, just on the plays on the ball, is playing better football at the second in a secondary position.
He is, and Chris Owens is healthy. He's playing better. Each one of them have gotten better every week of the season, which is great for the Browns. On the other side of the ball, this is a Bills secondary that is much maligned in terms of injuries. Right now, Stephon Gilmore not expected to play. Leotis McKelvin probably won't be able to go. Jarius Byrd is out, so they're beaten up, yet they had 5 interceptions last week against the Baltimore Ravens. But if you watch that game back on tape, there were plays to be made. Joe Flacco, we got to hold off on the bust for him in Canton right now, because he played a horrendous football game, but this secondary can be exploited. And, you know, we talked about it last week with the Bengals going from, you know, missing two of their top three corners and their free safety, the impact it had, and it was obviously enough for the Browns to score enough to win that football game. And what do you think the impact will be this week with a Buffalo Bills team that, by the way, has given up 3 receivers with over 100 yards and a touchdown, 2 at 150 in a score in the last 2 weeks alone?
I don't think this will be an issue for Brian Hoyer, just to think if he walks out there with 2 wins in a row that he can just assume that things are going to be okay. I'm hoping that the rest of the team follows suit and know that, hey, pay a close attention to detail. Because like you said, Nathan, if you watch the film on the Ravens game, and heck, I just got through watching some of that film, what you see is a lot of interceptions in the interior part of the first level of the defense as opposed to being the wide receivers or down the field in the third level. So right there, stay out of the middle. They do seem to play effectively there.
Kiko Alonso's good.
Yeah, he's doing something. Kiko Alonso.
What do you like about watching E.J. Manuel? There's a lot to like about this kid. Big, strong, smart quarterback. As you study him, Gerard, what are you seeing?
What I see is, yeah, you do see the common rookie mistakes and, okay, why did he throw that football? But then you see a play where, like, man, you have to have amazing touch on the football to make that type of throw. There's one in particular when he throws to his tight end on the sideline, and basically the tight end is plastered, but he finds a way to fit the ball right on the outside shoulder, 30 to 40 yards down the football field, and he's good at fitting the football in tight places on the intermediate routes as well. So he has the ability to throw the football. His decision-making will get better as time goes on, but like you said and alluded to earlier, Vic, with a young quarterback, bring the pressure, make it confusing for him, make him force him to think about what he wants to do with the football, and you have a chance. So he's still showing signs that he can not necessarily has grasped completely the game from a mental standpoint. But, yeah, I am definitely encouraged for the Buffalo Bills fans to say you do have a quarterback of the future because he is doing some good things.
He is. And talk about for a young quarterback especially, and it's true for veteran teams. You see the Seattle Seahawks at home. They're a different defense by far than they are on the road. But E.J. Manuel at home has played certainly better than he did on the road. His only road game completed less than 50% of his passes against the Jets, and that game was only close because the Jets had something like 20 penalties. How hard is it for E.J. Manuel, though, to go on the road on a short week on national television against a defense playing as well as the Cleveland Browns currently are?
We talked about it yesterday. If the Bills make the mistake of overloading E.J. Manuel with a bunch of different plays and formations, forget about it. He's going to be in trouble because he's going to be forced to think instead of just playing football. So I think it is tough for him. And also, too, from a communication standpoint, if the crowd level of noise is just extremely high like you find in Seattle, imagine a young player trying to adjust and deal with that and then have to make sure that he makes the right reads, makes the right calls, has the audibles in place. So we need, by all means, the fan base to come out tomorrow night and just be chaotic from a noise level standpoint, because it will have an impact on E.J. Manuel's performance because he's a young player and he's not used to this type of environment on a pro level.
You know, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because there are two standards that you really look at in the NFL, I think. There's an NFL standard, you know, the excellence of the league standard, and then there is, when you're following the Browns, a Browns standard. And unfortunately, it doesn't take much here, at least for the time being, for the Browns to do some things that are special in the Browns' world. And what I'm talking about is it's been more than 2 years since the Browns have gotten above 500.
Right.
All right. It was 2011 was the last time this team got over that hump. So on hump day today, we're talking about tomorrow that the Browns get over 500 with a 3-2 record. That would be an accomplishment, again, more than 2 years. Secondly, I think in the time that they've been, and I saw this stat, and I want to credit it. Oh, it was our buddy Pat McManaman from ESPN. He's the blogger, covers the Browns for ESPN.com. So the Browns have gone beyond 500 only 6 of the 14 seasons since they've been back in Cleveland since 1999. So, Gerard, we talk about relevance on a national scale, but really for the town's belief in this team, it starts there. I mean, to give people a sense of credibility, you get over 500 in a game that you should win
right
against the Bills on national TV. It's going to resonate.
Yeah, it will resonate, because we saw week one that the fan base is ready to grab a hold of this thing and run with it and take off.
We saw that in the preseason,
yeah. If you want to even go back even further, we saw in the preseason, too, the level of excitement of people anticipating this organization taking that step, the next one, in the right direction to just say, you know what, it's not about the draft and it's not about rebuilding for 2015 or 2016, but the time is now. And if you go out there and win tonight, I have to firmly believe the third time has to be a charm if you're not buying in by this point, especially in a situation where you've won a game in which you weren't twice, matter of fact, that you weren't favored to win, you win. Now, let's see how you handle success is the next step for this football team in general, and I believe the fans are thinking on that level as well, Vic. And if the Browns can come out tomorrow, do what's necessary, and play a game in which they should win by doing what they've been doing for the past 2 weeks, I believe, man, that this team will realize that, hey, we can cover all components of this football game for us, beating teams we should beat and beating teams we're not supposed to beat. And that will carry a lot of weight. And I believe the fan base will run with it, as I said earlier.
And that's what that's a point that I made earlier, and I'm glad you said that. That, you know, this is the first game. You know, it's probably a 50-50 proposition. Obviously, we all felt that the Browns could beat Miami, and they could have. Then they certainly were not the favorites going against Baltimore. They were not the favorites going against Minnesota, given the turmoil of that weekend. Again, they were not the favorites against Cincinnati Bengals.
Right.
To be the favorite and handle the business of being the favorite and going out there and getting a win, that's got to be a new step for this team, and one that I would imagine in the locker room is something they'll focus on, and when they do accomplish that, will give them even more confidence.
Right, and the irony is that it's coming against a team who they played against last year, in which I firmly believe that they took the mentality, this being last year, of, all right, we're the Cleveland Browns, and this is the Buffalo Bills. And it came off, at least from the way the game was played, that guys just thought that they could literally just walk out there and the game would be decided without playing any meaningful football. So hopefully the experience of last year, the veterans on this football team are reminding guys that they cannot go out there and lay an egg like they did last year, in which they were favored to beat the Bills, and the Bills beat them instead. So I think that'll play a part, Nathan. But yes, here's your chance to show again that you are for real, because I believe a lot of national people are ready to crown the Cleveland Browns as that up-and-coming team, that dark horse, to make the playoffs and actually win his division. But we're going to have to do our part, and that meaning more so the players. I'm sounding like I'm playing, but the players are going to have to do their part.
No, you're hitting it right on the head. I feel that same thing. It more so this week than any other week, probably because it is a primetime game. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing from a lot of these other folks around the country who want to talk Browns, different radio shows, TV shows, etc. And they're saying that same thing. It's like, hey, what's gotten into these guys? And it's pretty special. You sense that people do root for this. That this is, you know, just as the Tribe playing tonight is good for Major League Baseball. Pittsburgh and Cleveland on the baseball side of it to be doing what they're doing and increasing that relevance. What it means to the league as a whole to have these markets back in it and involved in a grand scale. It's true for the National Football League. People want to see the traditional teams, and frankly, it's the matchup of both teams. They want Buffalo to come back to relevance too, how great the league was during that run. So I think there's something to be said for a national rooting interest, even if the people aren't Browns fans per se. They like what they're seeing, and I think they believe in it too, because it isn't just haphazard. The defense is, more than anything, the defense is making it legit.
Yeah, the defense is certainly making it legit, and at the end of the day, Nathan and Vic, it's a great story. Here you have a situation in which everyone's counting you out. You have a third-string quarterback who pretty much has been written off as trash, and here he is, a diamond in the rough. And then you have a situation where you trade another star player, and the situation in which guys come together as one and show you what truly team sports is all about. So if this thing continues to matriculate in the fashion in which it's doing, don't be surprised. You talk about Kevin Costner making a movie right now. He might be doing one 10 years later if they keep this up. So I'm definitely encouraged.
Yep. Good stuff, Gerard. Thank you so much for taking the time, as always, and we'll catch up with you again. Oh, how about tomorrow?
Sounds like a plan. Yeah. I'll be seeing a lot of you tomorrow.
We'll hear you on that pregame show as well, the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network pregame show. Gerard Cherry, a part of that. You're going to hear him also in about 15 or so minutes from now on with Bruce Hooley. Hooley and Gerard following this show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. More is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR. Call.